Hello, and welcome to the Wind Power Podcast. I'm Ian Griggs, Deputy Editor of Wind Power Monthly. This month sees the return of the annual Wind Europe Conference, starting on Wednesday the 20th of March and running for 3 days. As the conference draws closer, a raft of European policy developments, including the Wind Charter, signed by 26 EU energy ministers, and the Net Zero Industry Act, which is close to final agreement, should give wind industry delegates attending the event some cause for optimism. But what's missing from the EU proposals as they stand? Could they go even further in supporting the wind industry? And is the consensus on a quicker European energy transition, formed in the wake of Russia's invasion of Ukraine, still intact 2 years on? Speaking ahead of the Bilbao conference to address these questions, I'm lucky to be joined by José Luis Blanco, Chief Executive of turbine manufacturer Nordex and Chairman of industry trade body Wind Europe. Welcome to the show, José Luis.
Thank you very much, Ian.
We've got lots of questions to get through, so I'm going to launch straight into it. There's been a lot of EU policy moves in the last 4 or 5 weeks. You've had 26 EU energy ministers signing the European Wind Charter shortly before Christmas. And there is an EU wind power package, which includes the Net Zero Industry Act and the Critical Raw Materials Act, which is very close to an agreement across the EU. Tell me, José Luis, what do you think the biggest impact of these policy developments is going to be for turbine manufacturers and developers?
That's a very good question. I think the EU wind power package is 15 excellent immediate actions to strengthen Europe's wind energy sector. The policy package includes what the European wind sector needs. It addresses different problems the industry has been facing. It aims to speed up wind energy permitting and to digitalize the permitting procedures. It sets out ways to auction design with pre-qualification and non-price award criteria to reflect the value of projects and not just price. And stresses they will ensure a playing field between European manufacturers and international competition by using tools like the foreign subsidy regulation if necessary. It facilitates as well the access to finance for manufacturers looking to build new factories. Right after the publication of the package, 26 Euro member states signed the European Wind Chapter, committing themselves to swiftly implement the action outlined in the wind power package. Now it's up to the EU member states to deliver on their commitment and implement the measures. They can come early enough for us.
Absolutely. How do you think this policy is being received by the turbine manufacturers and developers?
The current Commission's mandate is coming to an end soon. The industry will continue to work with the incoming Commission to ensure the competitiveness and technology leadership of European wind turbines and European wind energy manufacturers. It is crucial that the incoming Parliament and commissioners understand the value of wind energy. The European wind sector already employs more than 300,000 people. Our industry's annual contribution to the European's GDP is around 43 billion euros. Homegrown wind energy is critical for Europe and for Europe industrial competitiveness.
If I was to ask you what you think is missing from the EU reforms and what more the wind industry wants policymakers to do, what would you tell me?
European policymaking is quite complex, but after the Russian invasion of Ukraine, we see a new urgency to strengthen European energy security. The EU was crystal clear that renewables are the fastest and easiest way to do so. Governments have started to understand that the expansion of renewables is critical to the competitiveness of Europe's industry. Currently, we are only installing half the wind turbines we need to reach the target. There is 7 years left. Now it's time for governments to understand the urgency to support the European wind sector. Permits are up, 70% year on year in Germany and Spain. And this means that more projects coming online. So things are improving. But much will also depend on the big offshore wind farm scheduled to come online in years 27 to 2030. So the big overarching thing is speed up the ramp up, and we are ready to deliver.
That's what I gleaned really from your answer. The message is, well done, you're doing well in terms of delivering us some policy improvements, but get a move on. Wind Europe has argued that the Net Zero Industry Act legislation, particularly the fact that new pre-qualification criteria should only apply to 20% of projects at first, is a step in the wrong direction, sends the wrong signal. Is Wind Europe saying that these pre-qualification criteria should apply to all projects straight away? And if so, why?
First of all, it's good that the Net Zero Industry Act has enshrined the pre-qualification criteria in European legislation. Europe is moving away from the notion that the cheapest project is necessarily the best project. Pre-qualification criteria are raising the bar for companies bidding into the auctions. Criteria will help to award those projects that bring the biggest value to Europe. We must avoid a two-tier market, one with auctions with pre-qualification criteria and one without that. It opens the door for projects that don't guarantee the quality standard that Europe should consequently be striving for.
So really, the concern here is the potential for an emerging two-tier market. That's your chief concern. Does the pre-qualification criteria really mean that the vast majority of other projects can go to non-European manufacturers? Does Wind Europe believe that that's going to happen?
It's a matter of concern, the fragmentation of the market, and this is precisely why we are advocating for a single market approach.
Would Wind Europe argue for moving from 20% to 100% straight away, or do you see a more stepped approach towards that then?
We are definitely ready for a faster ramp up to the end target, yes.
There's been some talk over the last 12 months about putting pressure on EU policymakers to impose tariffs on the Chinese wind industry. People have got various different arguments to support that. Do you think, José Luis, that the EU will impose additional tariffs sometime over the next 1 to 2 years? And if they do, what do you think the effect of that would be?
That's a very good question. I think a level playing field between European products and non-European products needs to be ensured. Where there is proof for unfair competition, the European Union must consider using its trade instruments. For now, monitoring the situation, but in the wind industry power package, the Commission has clearly stated that trade measures are a real possibility if the EU should find the imported goods are unfairly subsidized.
Okay. It's really whether the EU policymakers are convinced by the arguments that there isn't a level playing field, whether this will be implemented. That's really interesting because I think everyone's going to be paying a lot of attention to what they decide on that over the coming months. Are you concerned that there were few advancements in turbine technology from Western turbine firms last year compared to their Chinese counterparts? And should they even try to keep up, or should they be consolidating existing platforms instead? This is bigger, better argument again.
It is true that Chinese companies announce onshore machines surpassing 10 megawatts. I cannot tell you where and when these machines are going to be built. However, in the industry, there are increasing voices to slow down the race for bigger and bigger turbines. I do believe that focusing to achieve the renewable goals, for instance, in Europe, requires installation of huge amount of proven machines. Hence, it seems fair to assume that a balanced development pace is reasonable. Combined with logistic restrictions in Europe, which are completely different than in other less populated regions of the world.
It sounds to me that you favour the principle of consolidating existing platforms. Is that a fair summary?
That summarises the view of the Western OEMs.
As the war in Ukraine reaches its second anniversary, do you think the consensus which emerged galvanizing the EU to sort of move more towards renewable power and away from reliance on Russian gas is starting to slip 2 years on?
Quite the opposite. I think the wind power package and the European wind chapter were clear commitments to further accelerate the transition to renewables. So honestly, I don't see a change in directions.
That's encouraging. You're basically saying that there's still that sense of urgency across EU member states.
It's the only way. If we are seeking energy security, energy independence, being away from the geopolitical shocks and bringing competitive electricity to society and fighting climate change, there is no other choice.
There's no other way to do it. You're quite right. In the US, President Biden introduced a transformative piece of legislation in the form of the Inflation Reduction Act, which turbine manufacturers in the US have described as policy game changers, which will transform that market. Do you think that Europe needs incentivizing legislation in the manner of the Inflation Reduction Act? Or do you think that the policy developments that we've just been talking about at the beginning of the show are enough?
I think the Inflation Reduction Act was a landmark decision by the Biden administration. But the Commission has proposed a Green Deal industrial plan. They have agreed the Net Zero Industry Act, which looks beyond only price in auctions and aims for resilience. The Net Zero Industry Act introduces better rules for wind energy auction. The EU is moving away from the idea that the cheapest bid should always win. So two completely different policies aiming for the same purpose, which is de-risking as such a strategic sector. Two completely different approaches, but with the same aim.
A welcome end to the race to the bottom on price, which was doing nobody any good. Would it be fair to say that you're not that concerned about the investors choosing the US over the EU and investment flowing away from the EU rather than towards it?
We have seen some European companies open factories in US since, but we have not seen the exodus of European companies as expected. So it's complementary. It's open more opportunities for companies. We have seen the European Union step up its industrial policy for green tech. The approach is very different from the tax breaks offered under the US IRA.
I hope you're enjoying this episode of the Wind Power Podcast. But before I go on, here's a quick word from one of our sister titles, and then we'll be right back.
Sorry to disturb your podcast. I'm John Gagan, Deputy Editor of Planning, the leading title for those who manage and navigate the planning system. Anyone interested in the latest news about town planning should check out Room 106, our weekly podcast, where we round up the latest news from the sector and take a closer look at the biggest planning stories. This might be the government's latest big policy announcement, a significant High Court judgment, or the progress of a planning bill through Parliament. So check out Room 106 wherever you get your podcasts.
The UK is looking at a general election at some point later this year. Would you expect a more pro-wind policy to emerge following the next general election?
The UK is fair to say, is a global leader in offshore wind. The government has learned from the failed CFD auction round in 2023. And rightfully adapted the maximum selling price for the upcoming CFD auctions rounds to adjust to the current market reality. Wind Europe expects 2024 to be a brilliant year for offshore wind in the UK. In Scotland, the expansion of onshore is spectacular. Repowering will offer further benefits. And also, Wales is looking to expand its wind power installation. It seems that a Labour government could revive the English onshore wind market and introduce even more ambitious energy and climate targets. We see, I would say, political consensus.
Yes, Labour's climate change secretary, Ed Miliband, said only yesterday that we're going to just sweep away these remaining roadblocks to onshore wind in the UK, which would presumably be music to the ears of the wind industry.
Yep, indeed.
We could talk a little bit about the supply chain. How can turbine manufacturers insulate themselves from supply chain disruptions? There's a lot of geopolitical issues going on around the world at the moment, which could potentially have an effect on the supply chain.
Well, to avoid supply chain disruption, turbine manufacturers very much diversify their sources of supply. So not all eggs into the same basket. Usually the management of supply chain risk works well, although it's true that major global events like COVID or the Ukrainian war affecting all regions of the world, let's call it unprecedented.
You can't guess where the next conflict in the world is going to erupt or what the effect of that will be. Are there any specific materials in the supply chain for turbine manufacturers, such as certain metals or cement or fiberglass, rare earths, that are of concern in terms of securing supply over the next 10 to 15 years?
I would say the biggest import dependency today exists for the permanent magnets and the rare earths needed for them. Almost all permanent magnets come from China. It is good that the European Union has proposed the Raw Material Act. The Act will diversify import routes, explore options for the European extraction and refining of rare earths, and build up recycling supply chains for permanent magnets in Europe. It's a matter of European security to reduce overdependency on one single supplier or country. The EU does not want to repeat the mistakes with the Russian gas. There is the political aim, ambition, and determination for that.
It's fantastic to talk to you about all this legislation and how strategic it all is. I've got my fingers crossed that this is going to massively ramp up the wind industry in Europe and that we're going to move forward at the pace that we actually need to.
We are all for it.
I'm sure you are. José Luis Blanco, thank you very much indeed for spending time with us to answer all our questions.
Thank you very much, Ian. Thank you very much to the Wind Power monthly readers and followers. Thank you.
Make sure you subscribe to the Wind Power podcast and do feel free to leave us a review. For more information about the Wind Europe conference in Bilbao, visit www.windeurope.org.